Blog Talk Radio.
What a befitting way to start off our show today as we're going into part two about the bullying epidemic. You tuned in to Straight Talk, where we give it to you straight and all the way live about the issues that are pertinent to you in your life and in your livelihood. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the only one, the number one, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Motor City Maharani, giving it to you straight and all the way live on this beautiful, this scenic and effervescent Tuesday, March 29th, 2016, getting a little remnant of the song Bad, recorded by the very phenomenal entertainer worldwide, Michael Jackson, just giving you a little snippet to kind of get you into the very mood, because you know what? What the bully wants to project is that they're really, really bad, when inwardly they're not feeling that good about whom it is that they are. Well, yes, indeed, Mr. Jackson, you prove that you are bad, one of the most phenomenal entertainers of all time, outselling phenomenal names like Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, and, oh, I'm telling you, even Marvin Gaye. This guy really, really gave definitive to the term bad, but bad in a good way. There's more than one way to be bad, and he was bad in a phenomenal way, leaving his legacy behind of hit after hit after phenomenal performance after performance. There will never be another Michael Jackson. Kind of getting you into the tune, into the mindset of our topic today. Because the bully, as we indicated on yesterday's broadcast, and we dealt with the Scientology aspects of the bully, wants to project that big, bad image. But it's all a facade, a fake image. Really and truly, the bully, the aggressor, is the coward in the circumstances. We revealed yesterday some definite truths that bullies or aggressors themselves had been bullied and trampled upon in times past. And what they want to do is to assert an image that will strike fear, respect, and even admiration amongst those in their intermediate circle. And it's why it's so important to realize that bullying is not just a mere behavior, it is a mindset. That's right, it is a total characterization of a person who is seeking to be powerful at the point where he or she attempts to diminish the minds and hearts of others. So as we're picking up on part two, dealing with this very tragic issue, the going and the growing issue, and if you thought we were going to talk about urinary tract dysfunctionalism, and when we brought forth the truth and told you that this going and growing problem that is taking the population by masses is bullying. That's right. Bullying is done on various levels, and I want you to understand it. Not all bullying is done by one independent person. Sometimes there's establishments or organizations that utilize bullying as a way to counteract the mindsets of others and to diminish the thought process and the ability of others to act independently of themselves. And you want me to give you a couple of commercial examples as we think about ISIS. Of course, ISIS is a bullying organization. They want to bless the strong arm by doing a few tragic occurrences within the societal setting that can actually offset a sense of fear and antagonistic demeanor amongst those who don't understand the dichotomy of what they're all about. These are a bunch of cowards that are parading around in costumes and doing some things that are just unscrupulous and totally inhumane. Why? Because they are bullies. That's right. This is a bullying-based organization. You think about Al-Qaeda that actually would hide out in the mountains. Well, you know something, that gives pureness of their facade, that they're a safe establishment, because if they were so bold and so effervescent in their presentation, they would be right out in the public as opposed to doing secret media coverages and then suddenly publicizing them to a delegated few. They would go out and commercialize within the venue because they could back up what they did. So when organizations such as I mentioned, that's like do such things, Boko Haram, that's another organization totally based upon bullying those who are less contingent, those who are less capable of fending for themselves. Why? Because they speak upon fear. See, bullies feed from fear. They see from the very essence of fear. And when see, you can initiate fear, you can capitalize, you can isolate, you can denigrate that person or that set population and cause them to cower down to your demand. So we understand that bullying is not always done by one independent person. Sometimes it's done by a collective establishment and organization. That's right, but if you don't nuke bullying by one person, see, what happens is that the one person that starts the movement, that's right. Like we think about the horrific and the tragic occurrences that were in Iraq under the leadership of Saddam Hussein, that later on he emerged into the Ba'ath Party. That's right, and then it extended to the Muslim movement in that country that countermeasured and did some unscrupulous things that would even turn the stomachs of the most infamous criminals amongst his own people. You know why? Because he wasn't isolated. He wasn't nuked when he first projected that bullying-type image. That's right. This is how you get tyrannical leaders to influence others, because one bully can actually influence a whole myriad of people who can't think and act for themselves. They're looking for a hero, someone that they can gravitate to that would give them assertion, and they seek after the weak. You think about Chemical Ali. This was the countermeasure of production that Saddam Hussein brought forth. This man was a horrible individual. Don't even relevate him as to being one of the most tyrannical people that ever lived as a way of being able to just turn lethal biological weaponry upon his own people. The courage That's why we were to speak to anyone who was in that Kurdish establishment in northern Afghanistan would definitely tell you that Chemical Ali left a legacy of tyrannical and unscrupulous and inhumane behaviors behind to permeate and to illuminate his dark character. So bullies are dangerous in the way that they can influence others to act upon those who may feel are less fortunate or even weaker. So that's what the important factor is that we can identify. Because in times past, the old facade about bullying, we talked about the big bad bully in the schoolyard. We warned our children, and even we as children were warned about being bullied. Well, see, that's the old facade of bullying. Bullying takes on a new phase, a new character, a new set itinerary of actions. And this is why it's so important for us to identify these components and to address them before they get out of hand, before we have another Columbine incident. That's why before we see other young people take their lives because they can't take being dehumanized and demoralized amongst the company of others, before they start attacking themselves and questioning their own capacity as an honorable, deserving human being. So bullying is not confined to young children and to teenagers. It has leaked and peaked into the adult population. This is what I really want to focus upon, because we already knew about young children being bullied. We already dealt with the issue of teenage bullying, but we haven't dealt enough with the issue of adult bullying. And it's taking place. It's taking place in the workplace. It's taking place in the collegiate and university establishment, secondary education. It's taking place in political establishments. It's taking place in community organizations. It's taking place in households. It's taking place, sit down and hold your seat. It's taking place in clerical establishments known as congregations and assemblies, that we have leaders of assemblies that are bullying members into giving money, into providing servitude as a way of assuring that they are right with God. And this is a form of psychological manipulation, almost personal blasting for these types of things to happen. But they are happening in religious establishments. That's right. They are happening. We see it happening with the momentum of the election coming up, the presidential election. We actually are hearing those who are supporting various candidates bullying other people who don't feel the necessity to support that candidate. Look at the horrific and tragic incident with the young woman being attacked last week by one of Trump's followers, and who would want to follow him? But nevertheless, I can't give a slur about who to support, because that's not what we're about. We're here to give information that will empower you to make changes about the very essence of bullying itself. So bullying takes place in many aspects, many areas in the household. A lot of times the female counterpart is being bullied by that male leadership counterpart in the household. That's right. And sometimes the male counterpart is being bullied by the female counterpart in the household. What's the difference between being abused and being bullied? See, being abused, when you're abused physically, there's evidence, scars, and things of that measure that would definitely validate there's something going on wrong in the atmospheric location. But when we talk about bullying, bullying does not necessarily so mean that there's going to be the evidence of physical scars, striations, and abrasions. Sometimes it's the mannerism in which a person behaves themselves amongst others in a societal setting. So there's bullying going on in the household. There's some essences, adult leadership in the household are bullying the children. The children are bullying the younger children. The older children bullying the younger children. In rare instances, there's sometimes even younger children that are bullying their older siblings, because they feel as though they have the upper hand, they have the overall leverage. That's right. And sometimes there's even to the point where elderly people are being bullied by their adult children when they take refuge in their place of residency because maybe they can't quite live independently outside of that abode or that location. Then they find themselves being bullied by their adult children. Sometimes they have adult children's spouse or partner were trying to get money out of that elderly person and make them feel victimized. You're not necessarily so putting their hands on them, but just simply saying that literally by way of action that we're doing you a favor to allow you to stay here. So, you know, we look at all these facets and we ignore them and say, oh, it's nothing, stuff happens. No, when a person is being bullied on any of these levels, and I just illuminated upon, it is a tragic circumstance that can swing either way. Either the aggressor can escalate their actions and actually hurt the victim or the individual that's being bullied, or else the victim may elevate to a level of total intolerance and for 5 seconds flat lose sanity and act up and act out in a way in which they could actually hurt the aggressor, or else a fatality could occur as it relates to dealing with that aggressor. So we can permeate to stop a terrible circumstance or situation from happening by getting interventive skills. This is what we're going to do. We're going to come up with some strategies to counteract the very anomaly of bullying on diversified levels. We're going to come up with a whole myriad, a whole cadre of things that you can do if you're in these circumstances on part three, which will air on tomorrow at 3 o'clock p.m. But right today, we're going to actually go into the types of bullying to familiarize you with this particular undesirable, unacceptable, and highly unorthodox behavior. Let's talk about verbal bullying, okay? Get your pen and paper out. You may need to take notes. What is verbal bullying? Let me tell you what it is. The aggressor or the bully makes negative statements to antagonize, to humiliate, and to diminish the victim's character, or literally attack the victim using the war of words. They may criticize the way that they look. They may criticize the way that the individual or the victim acts. They may criticize the way and the mannerism in which the individual or the victim dresses, the way that the individual may eat, the way that the individual may conduct their affairs. And this is a way of asserting that they are superior to that person. And also, not only using dehumanizing statements, of which we're going to give you a few examples, they can also make threats. That's right. Using verbal threats comes into the very camaraderie of verbal bullying, such as, you know, I don't like you anyway. Nobody likes you. Who likes you? Why would anyone like you? You know, keep getting in my face and something's going to happen. You got one more thing to say to me and lights out, buddy. Things of that measure that make the person feel embarrassed. See, verbal bullying is not so much meant to beat a person down quite yet. It's a sophisticated way of breaking down your image before others and your image as it relates to the aggressor, okay, to strike a sense of fear, to strike a sense of helplessness and haplessness. This is what verbal bullying is meant to do. So it not only comes with dehumanizing statements and accusations, it also comes with using threats, threatening phrases, threatening to harm you, threatening to countermeasure or counteract what it is that you're doing in the way of productivity, threatening to go to the supervisor, the managerial staff, and report you for something, threatening to tell something that you've done or something that you said, as a way of, again, making themselves look superior. So that's verbal bullying. Okay, another type of bullying we're going to talk about is physical bullying. Most of us are very familiarized with physical bullying, so it doesn't really need that much of an explanation. But there's two levels I want to explain to you. Don't just take physical bullying and put it under one classification. Put it in two separate classifications. I'm going to show you the difference. We're going to talk about the primary aspect of physical bullying. This is when the aggressor or the bully utilizes non-direct contact. What is the difference between non-direct and direct contact? Non-direct contact is more so the way of coercive gestures. When a person stomps their feet or they roll their eyes at you, they may swing their hand in front of your face or wave it in your face or maybe brush up against you and perhaps even wave at the wind right close to you where it can almost hit you, not quite hit you, but as a way of sending out a message as to say that I'm going to miss the target this time, but next time I will not miss the target. Okay, they use gestures and maybe even to belittle you, like waving their fingers behind your head and call you a dunce, or to acting as though they're taking your foot to rise up to kick you. That is a non-direct form of physical bullying. Okay? And then what is this meant to do? This is used to strike a sense of fear into the victim, done by the aggressor. Because the first thing that the victim or the individual feels is that next time they're going to actually hit me, I better avoid this person as much as possible, or else try to reason or bargain with them. So this is what the non-direct or primary cadre of bullying is. Then the second cadre or classification of physical bullying is secondary bullying. This is called secondary bullying under the physical category. This type of bullying actually involves direct physical contact. So you have one that's non-direct, more so threatening or antagonizing, but the secondary physical bullying actually orchestrates to a point of direct physical contact, such as pushing, hitting, slapping, maybe even just punching the victim or the individual as a way of usurping power. The aggressor's ego is fed as he does this, and he gains a captive audience. Because let me tell you something, that hint in all of this is that the bully, when they escalate to this level, see, verbal bullying, they may just do it when you and they are in the room together, but when they see the captivity of an audience present, they'll escalate. But physical bullying is primarily done in the midpoint of a captive audience. Why? Because, again, not only does the aggressor, the coward, the bully want to put fear into you, but you cower down and lose your will and avoid them, you know, use abstinence as well as avoidance as a way of dealing with them. They want to strike fear into the hearts of others. They want respect. They want admiration from others in the company. So this is the way they get it, the most primal and common way of getting that is through physically attacking you, okay? And so the aggressor does this as a way of also asserting to the victim that, you know something, you are in my hands. You better do what I say do, or else there will be consequences. Okay? So that's the second form of bullying. Well, let's go to the third type of bullying, and this is very interesting. I got this from a young lady that actually told me by way of email yesterday that she saw this formulation of bullying done in the flesh. Psychological bullying, that's number three. Unlike simple verbal bullying and physical bullying, psychological bullying leaves definite scars in an inner or interpersonal dimension, like I got. It leaves psychological scars within the interpersonal dimension. We're going to talk about the self-esteem factor. See, psychological bullying scars an individual. See, physical attacks can scar you outwardly. Okay, you may use some Vaseline, some absorbing junior. You may end up getting some treatment if deeply necessary, and it will go away. Verbal bullying, it may be somewhat to the point that you feel embarrassed, but embarrassment can definitely be countermeasured because you know who you are and what you are. But when you are psychologically bullied, you already have some defamations about yourself as is. And that bully, that aggressor knows this, and he or she impinges upon that open door of opportunity to take it there. Okay? So here, in psychological bullying, the aggressor uses the lack of self-esteem, the capacity within the individual that already is present and prevalent, as a lethal weapon to use against their victim. That's right, of the individual. This type of bullying is used within a more intimate level or structure. What is the goal of this behavior? It is to reduce an individual to the lowest level of their existence. It is meant to diminish a person's character. It's meant to diminish a person's identity. Psychological bullying is to do that. So to the point the person loses their own credibility of independence and feels dependent upon the approval of others. That's why psychological bullying is so very dangerous. To the point the victim blames himself. This is another dangerous standpoint. The person that has been a victim of psychological bullying will believe that it is their fault. If they weren't so stupid, if they weren't so, you know, incapable of doing something right, if they weren't so dumbfounded about carrying out specific orders, that things wouldn't happen to them. And that's what the dangerous aspect of psychological bullying is. That person turns to external factors inwardly and begins to blame themselves. As a young lady who was 16 years old about 3 years ago actually believed she was stupid, believed that she was dumb, because why? She had been psychologically bullied by her peers within her classroom, and others began to tease her because she didn't make the type of scores that she needed to make to pass her equivalency test. And as a result, she took her own life and left a letter behind explaining the very essence of her actions because she had been psychologically defamed. So the aggressor feels superior and makes the sufferer of the individual or the victim feel that they have no other option. See, that's the dangerous part. If you're being psychologically bullied, you feel as though that you have no other option but to tolerate it because you're less than desirable. And here's the example that a young lady actually emailed me, and here's the incident here. She says, this incident actually happened. This was in a supermarket within my area. She lives in Dallas, Texas. She says, here this man was standing in line. She said, I'm going to refer to this man's name as Theo. And you do have to protect the identity of people because sometimes you'd be surprised who's listening and actually can come at you again with some, you know, some blatant accusation. So it's wise to do that. So the names have been changed to protect the guilty as well as to more so protect the innocent who don't deserve this kind of treatment. She said, actually, this is what happened. This man, she said, I will refer to him as Theo, tells his wife, he said, I'm going to refer to her as Anya, in the grocery store. They're shopping. She says, this woman was somewhat overweight. She wasn't morbidly obese, but she was somewhat overweight, but very attractive in her terminology of things. This man, actually, Theo says, you are so fat and unattractive. Why is it that you've let yourself go? The supermarket is the last place that you and I need to be in. There's a woman, I can even look at you. Now, here's that other individuals are standing around and listening to this conversation that he's having with his wife, and he's talking loud so he can be large and in charge as a way of asserting himself because he can't have his way, so he's going to break down her will. He says, a million one if I can even stand to look at you. So if you stop eating so much, perhaps you would lose some weight. So, of course, she's embarrassed, and she says the woman she refers to as Anya, because she had twins, that her body is yet containing the baby weight, and she's trying to lose it, but it's coming off slowly. He says, you haven't lost anything, but just look at you. You eat all day and night. We go to the grocery store 3 and 4 times a week. I'm tired of paying for food like this. Look at your stomach. Look at your thighs. You look horrible. You're just fat. Look at my friend's wife. She just had a child like you, but she's not fat. And they don't go to the grocery store 3 and 4 times a week. Now, the other patrons are looking around. Some of them look with a smirk, some of the men did. And others look at him with disdain, saying, why is this man saying these things to his wife or his female counterpart here in the supermarket? And you can tell by their facial expression. The cashier seemed somewhat disturbed but tried to put on a customer-friendly face, and she said she's ringing up the groceries. And then Theo says to the cashier, it's a way of flirting, he's angry because he has to pay for the groceries, the bottom line, okay? She says, oh, those cookies that look good to me. She says, I really like those cookies. And he responds to her, those cookies are for my fat wife here. Look like she needs to eat some, right? And the cashier said, well, a little sweetness doesn't hurt anybody. It's not bad. She rings up the groceries, and she looks at the wife or the female counterpart in a way that is totally disappropriated in the manner in which this man's speaking concerning her, and she wonders why she's not defending herself. But Anya, because most of the people in the supermarket know her husband and know her, she is embarrassed. And instead of defending herself, she walks out of the store with her head held down, feeling embarrassed because her husband has humiliated her. And to top off the humiliation, this man actually had the nerve to say something inappropriate to another woman who was walking out, saying, this is how a woman is supposed to look. You see that? That's what I'm talking about, you and her. And what does this woman do? She said she simply held her head down as though she had been weeping or crying or just totally embarrassed, and she got into the vehicle and said nothing. This woman, by her gestures, her psychological will has been broken. Why? She knows that she has this extra weight. She's not as attractive as she used to be. And oftentimes women who have, you know, have birth children, they have issues as it relates to depression, and food is a conduit or a way out. Postpartum depression is what it's called. And food becomes a venue or a way out of the way they're feeling. He's working and spending long hours. The children perhaps are crying. She's up all hours of the day and night. May even have other children. We don't know the whole dichotomy behind her living circumstance. But from what the young lady shared with me, from the base level information, she's fighting a battle. And he feels as though he's being pushed in the corner. He doesn't want to spend his money on groceries or any extra expenses as it relates to the household. And this is the way that he asserts himself as the male. This is the type of behavior that is destructive to women. And as a result, so many women respond like this woman responded. Instead of defending herself, she hangs her head down and allows this to happen. And this is a sad factor. Many women are living this type of horrible circumstance. So that's the other aspect of bullying. And it's a sad aspect of bullying because so many women don't stand up and speak out for themselves in that manner. So that's psychological bullying. That's a good example. And thank you for sharing that with us. And here's another formulation of bullying. Let's get to here. Number four, by way of finances. There are situations and circumstances in relationships. This is predominantly done in households where there's an ascertained relationship. Let's say communal relationship between two consenting parties who are cohabitating or living together. And you'll have one person who wants to be the dominant while the other is the recessive. And that person will use the financial upswing or advantage or leverage as a way of manipulating and monopolizing upon the person who may not have as much to offer as they do. And what happens is that what? They then make unrealistic demands as it relates to expenditures, producing receipts, giving accountability of every nickel, dime, and penny that's spent, humiliating that person because they have the capacity to do so because they feel that they're owed something outside of the realm of the norm. And that's another formulation that has caused a lot of relationships to break up. The person gets to the point that they can no longer take being bullied in the household as it relates to finances. And we've had other instances of financial bullying. Let me give you another example. To an elderly person who's living in the household, if I give you somewhat of a snippet of an example, who's living in a household, but their children or else, say, for instance, not only with their children, maybe with a child who is an adult child now and has a spouse or a counterpartner. And they're living there. And this person may be on a fixed income, and maybe they actually allocated how much their expenditures are to be, how much they're going to pay for staying there, for their own personal expenses and their other biological necessities. Well, someone decides in the relationship outside of that elderly person, whereas the associated child or the non-associated child decides that we need more money in this household. And they can actually go to that person, and you know, even though the respect factor is there at a minimal level, because it is disrespectful to make unnecessary demands upon anyone, even more so I get irritated amongst the elders, ask for more money, saying that you're not giving us enough, we need more money. And if that elderly person refuses or refuses to do as such, and many elderly people feel as though they have no choice, they have no other delegation, they cannot live in the family, so they feel forced to give up more money. And they may be fearful of the fact that it may become physical, or they could be harmed physically, or if they could be put into some type of convalescent establishment in which they don't want to go because they want to maintain the integrity of having some degree of not full independence, but interdependence, which means they're inside the circle, but they can still move independently. They don't want to lose that. And then they don't want to lose the possibility or the proclivity that their child, that is now as an adult, that should be responsible enough on their own that they don't have to ask their elderly parents for anything, may not love them or care as much about them, and they may go negligent. And the fear factor is with the elderly is that they may not get cared for, something could happen to them, and they could be left alone, suffer a tragic accident, and die as a result. So we have a lot of elderly people who are suffering in that capacity of being financially bullied. That's right. And I know many of you thought about financially bullied was about the kids who are taking milk money. No, that's the age-old perspective. We're talking about the adult realm, what we don't like to talk about. And many of us have suffered in these areas, whether or not we know it. And this is why these examples are pertinent, so that we can address these issues and come up with working strategies where we can iron out the situation and we can move up and move forward. Another type of bullying that we need to talk about is widespread. I know a lot of you may think, well, it's not so much with the adult people. It's more so with teenagers and younger people. It's cyberbullying. Cyberbullying has caused more incidents amongst the teenage population and perhaps even the young adult population and even adult population to have skirmishes, serious violent and non-empathetic behavior, in which actually it has condescended to such a point and elevated to such a area that people have actually been killed as a result of cyberbullying. What is cyberbullying? Cyberbullying is the actual behavior in which an individual utilizes the social media. And not only social media, in the way of Facebook, the first thing that comes to mind is Facebook and Google. There's other sites. That's right. There's Twitter. That's right. To actually ostracize, criticize, and demoralize individuals and make it on a wide span level. That means that at the touch of a button, an individual's life can be destroyed. Why? Because the mass media appropriation, see, when we think about the physical bullying, that's limited to a certain perimeter. We think about the verbal bullying, that's limited to a certain individual in a certain setting. We think about financial or fiscal bullying, that's limited to a household, to a relationship, or a communicable setting. We talk about psychological bullying, that's done as an intermediate method of manipulation. But when you talk about cyberbullying, one message can make it all around the world and destroy a person's character within a microcosmic second. That means that you can post something about a person, their pictures, maybe caught them in an uncompromising way, or just made it so that they seemed it was an uncompromising way and did some, you know, some photo upgrading to make it look like that person and suddenly produce this destructive instrument and post it about that person. And that person could be of a definite status quo, a position or posture. What is it that people are going to do? Believe the worst before they even consider the good. And this is what has helped to destroy so many lives. This is what has helped to destroy so many characters and so many dexterities of influence. There was a statement that was once made saying that I can kill a person without firing a bullet. And the response was, how can you do that? Simple. I can use Facebook. I can use Twitter. He says, I can go on Instagram, and I can publish the worst character assassination method ever and post pictures as evidence along with statements, and I can kill you without even shooting you because I can shoot down your effectiveness. I can shoot down your character. I can shoot down your mobility, and people will condescend you as a person and will want nothing to do with you. When you think about it, it's the truth. Cyberbullying is going on often. Sometimes young women are disrobing themselves for one person and think that this person actually has their best interest in mind. And what happens? That person goes on an Instagram or on Facebook and translates that photo from the telephone. So, see, oftentimes cyberbullying is not just done by way of these social media networks. Sometimes it's a text message that goes viral, it goes public. Why? Because someone took that message, someone took that photograph and posted it in the social media where everybody can see it. And you can say open audience, public audience means everybody can see it. Private audience means only your friends can see it. So when you say go public, everybody can see those photographs. And people who don't even know you will know more about you than you know about yourself. Because why? Cyberbullying is a way of manipulating and destroying a person's character on a much larger scale. People have ended up getting hurt seriously as a result of it, and some individuals, again, if they have some psychological, you know, and intrinsic battles, have turned the battle inwardly toward themselves because they could not handle the frustration of being denigrated, of being monopolized upon. So these are the chief elementations, the categories of bullying that are so commonized, not only amongst young people, amongst adults and even older adults, but people are too afraid to speak about it. And we're bringing it to life here on Straight Talk. So listen, we've identified the problematic areas and the problematic perimeters. And we're going to come back tomorrow with part three about how to combat these behaviors and revive yourself as a person and to gain the momentum, being confident within yourself. So enjoy this beautiful, beautiful afternoon on this glorious and definitely victorious Tuesday, the 29th of March, 2016. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, heard on all continents around the world, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Motor City Mile. Ronnie saying, enjoy your day. Reach out, touch a hand, and make a friend. Oh, yeah.